times, through the worst of times, through Nixon and through Bush. Do you remember 36? We went our separate ways. You fought for Stalin, I fought for freedom. You believe in authority, I believe in myself. I'm a Molotov cocktail, you don't parry. Yo, baby, what's that confused look in your eyes? What I'm trying to say is that I burn down buildings while you sit on a shelf inside of them. You call the cops on the looters and pie throwers. They call it class war, I call it co-conspirators. 'Cause baby, I'm an anarchist, you're a spineless liberal. We marched together for the 8-hour days and held hands in the streets of Seattle. But when it came time to throw bricks through that Starbucks window, you left me all alone, all alone. You watched in awe at the red, white, and blue on the 4th of July. While those fireworks were exploding, I was burning that fucker and swinging my black flag high, eating the peanuts that the parties have tossed you in the backseat of your father's new Ford. You believe in the ballot, you believe in reform, you have faith in the elephant and jackass. And to you, solidarity's a four-letter word, we're all hypocrites. But you're a patriot, you thought I was only joking when I screamed kill Whitey at the top of my lungs, at the cops in their cars and the men in their suits. No, I won't take your hand and marry the state. 'Cause baby, I'm an anarchist, you're a spineless liberal. We marched together for the 8-hour days and held hands in the streets of Seattle. But when it came time to throw bricks through that Starbucks window, you left me all alone, all alone.
Hi, and welcome to Resonance 104.4 FM. You're listening to The Circle Day Show with me, Yadette Gerez. Last weekend, the 8th and 9th of June, was the Radical Feminist Conference 2013. This was the second annual conference, Women Only Space, organised by women for women. The conference themes were eliminating violence against women, multiple oppressions of women under patriarchy, abolishing prostitution and supporting survivor activists, building sisterhood and women's community, the lesbian hearsay, sisters ending compulsory heterosexuality and promoting lesbianism, and a critique of postmodernism, identity politics and queer theory. The intention of the show is to try and present a fair picture of what second wave feminism is in the face of hostility towards the lowest class of society, that which is women. But first, Judy Saffers, a feminist, was born in 1937 in San Francisco and was educated at the University of Iowa, where she received her BFA in 1962. She became a freelance writer during the 1960s and has written articles on such issues as abortion, education and the labour and women's movement for a variety of publications. Ms. Saffers originally published Why I Want a Wife in the spring of 1972 issue of Ms. Magazine. In this article, Ms. Saffers presents a witty, satirical view of a woman's traditional role as a servant to her husband. She says, "I belong to that classification of people known as wives. I am a wife, and not altogether incidentally, I am a mother. Not too long ago, a male friend of mine appeared on the scene from the Midwest, fresh from a recent divorce. He had one child, who is, of course, with his ex-wife. He is obviously looking for another wife. As I thought about him while I was ironing one evening, it suddenly occurred to me that I, too, would like to have a wife. Why do I want a wife? I would like to go back to school so that I can become economically independent, support myself, and if need be, support those dependent upon me. I want a wife who will work and send me to school. And while I'm going to school, I want a wife to take care of my children. I want a wife to keep track of the children's doctor and dentist appointments, and to also keep track of mine too. I want a wife to make sure my children eat properly and are kept clean. I want a wife who will wash the children's clothes and keep them mended. I want a wife who is a good nurturant, attendant to my children, arranges for their schoolings, makes sure that they adequately social life with their peers, take them to the park, the zoo, etc. I want a wife who takes care of the children when they are sick. A wife who arranges to be around when the children need special care because, of course, I cannot miss classes at school. My wife must arrange to lose time at work and not lose the job. It may mean a small cut in my wife's income from time to time, but I guess I can tolerate that. Needless to say, my wife will arrange and pay for the care of the children while my wife is working. I want a wife who will take care of my physical needs. I want a wife who will keep my house clean. A wife who will pick up after my children. A wife who will pick up after me. I want a wife who will keep my clothes clean, ironed, mended, replaced when need be, and who will see it that my personal things are kept in their proper place so that I can find what I need the minute I need it. I want a wife who cooks the meals, a wife who is a good cook. I want a wife who will plan the menus, do the necessary grocery shopping, prepare the meals, serve them pleasantly, and then do the cleaning up while I do my studying. I want a wife who will care for me when I'm sick and sympathise with my pain and loss of time from school. I want a wife to go along when our family takes a vacation so that someone can continue to care for me and my children when I need a rest and a change of scene. I want a wife who will take care of details of my social life. When my wife and I are invited out by friends, I want a wife who will take care of the babysitting arrangements. When I meet people at school that I like and want to certain, I want a wife who will have the house clean, will prepare a special meal, serve it to me and my friends, and not interrupt when I talk about the things that interest me and my friends. I want a wife who will have everything arranged, that the children are fed and ready for bed before my guests arrive so that the children do not bother us. I want a wife who takes care of the needs of my guests so that they feel comfortable, who make sure that they have an ashtray and they are passed the cold cuts, that they are helping of the food, that their wine glasses are replenished when necessary and their coffee is served to them as they like it. And I want a wife who knows that sometimes I need the night to myself. I want a wife who is sensitive to my sexual needs, a wife who makes love passionately and eagerly when I feel like it, a wife who makes sure that I am satisfied. And of course, I want a wife who will not demand sexual attention when I'm not in the mood for it. I want a wife who assumes the complete responsibility for birth control because I do not want more children. I want a wife who will remain sexually faithful to me so that I do not have to clutter up my intellectual life with jealousies. And I want a wife who understands that my sexual needs may entail more than strict adherence to monogamy. I must, after all, be able to relate to people as fully as possible. If by chance I find another person more suitable as a wife than the wife I already have, I want the liberty to replace my present wife with another one. Naturally, I will expect a fresh new life. My wife will take the children and be solely responsible for them so that I am left free. When I am through with school and have acquired a job, I want my wife to quit working and remain at home so that my wife can more fully and completely take care of a wife's duties. My God, who wouldn't want a wife?
ordained. Okay, for that I'm trained. But to pick up shit after men, repeatedly, time and time again, I refuse, they are not helpless. Like babies, but make a worse mess. Mentally or physically, small abilities, not there for you emotionally or psychologically. What's the point to keep on going in the same cycle? Keep on throwing ourselves at those same maze, who leave us in a spiritual jail. To make change, break the cycle, rearrange, and look at how we can bring up our boys to be more loving. And we continue to get grown men who need us to be their mothers and feed them on our weakness or guilt or whatever, or who hate us 'cause of their mother.
That was The Slits, Ask Ma, from the album Trapped Animal. Hoping to have Viv Albertine on the show soon, so watch this space. On a different subject, solidarity goes out to the anti-G8 protesters who occupied a building in Soho, London, UK, for a week of dissent and organising. Well, they planned a week of it. The full force of the law came down on them yesterday afternoon. This country is no different to others when we protest against anything that the government doesn't like. Also, solidarity goes with our comrades in Turkey who have endured police brutality at its most horrific. And with that, there have been recent protests in Mexico too, where the filth have shown sheer violence and brutality against its people. No surprise there then. No surprise anywhere then. I'll be talking to somebody who identifies herself as a radical feminist. But first, I'll give a brief description of what radical feminism means. Radical feminism is a philosophy emphasising the patriarchal roots of inequality between men and women, or more specifically, social dominance over women by men. Radical feminism views patriarchy as dividing rights, privileges and power primarily by gender, and as a result, oppressing women and privileging men. Radical feminists tend to be more militant in their approach. Radical feminism opposes existing political and social organisations in general because it is inherently tied to patriarchy. Thus, radical feminists tend to be sceptical of political actions within the current system and instead support cultural change that undermines patriarchy and associated hierarchical structures. Radical feminism opposes patriarchy, not men. To equate radical feminism to man-hating is to assume that patriarchy and men are inseparable philosophically and politically. There are separatist elements within radical feminism, which are temporary or permanent, but the ideology itself primarily focuses on how to once and for all end the oppression, violence and disdain for women all over the world. I'm here talking to a friend of mine called Elizabeth, who is a radical feminist and was also present at the Radical Feminist Conference. So Elizabeth, why do you think radical feminism, or do you think radical feminism is misunderstood? And if so, why? And could you tell us what radical feminism is to you, your understanding of it?
I think radical feminism is understood all too well as a truly radical form of the social movement of feminism. And because it's understood to be truly radical, it's quite threatening to the status quo. It upsets the status quo in forms that, say, corporate feminism or liberal feminism or, pro-prostitution feminism doesn't upset the status quo. I mean, we go right to the root of patriarchy, of who has the power, who owns the land, who owns the means of production, who owns the utilities, who owns the right to make who do what at what time, and we kind of analyze it. And I think in a lot of ways, radical feminism goes a couple of steps deeper than, liberal feminism.
What are the principles of radical feminism?
I think radical feminism really kind of has a direct connection to Marxism and the beginnings of anti-capitalism, in the sense that we have an analysis of, as I say, who has power and who doesn't structurally, globally. We're anti-capitalist, anti-commodification of all forms. I think a difference between the radical feminists and other forms of feminists is that there is a desire to eradicate the sex industry altogether, an understanding of why the sex industry has grown and grown and the ways in which women and men are exploited by it, a sense that it's not good, that increasingly all human relationships are seen as a transaction, a complete rejection of the neoliberal agenda that transactional relationships and commodified relationships are okay. We differ a lot from the libertarian left, and with our definition of the sex industry, in the sense that we're against all big business, including the sex industry, and we're against the rise of kind of corporate industrialized relations of all kinds. And I think also radical feminism differs from perhaps other forms of feminism in the sense it has an analysis of gender. As radical feminists, we're gender abolitionists. We want an end to what we see as not the gender binary, but the gender hierarchy. We reckon that patriarchy put gender in place to make women perform subordination and to make women perform their status as below men. And we frequently call ourselves gender abolitionists. We want an end to gender. And that puts us at odds with aspects of queer theory and at odds with the movement to promote gender identities, because ultimately, although we recognize biological sex is real, we want an end to all gender identities.
What got you into radical feminism?
I think the feminism in the 70s and 80s, what more of it was actually radical without having radical appended to it. It just was radical feminism. And as a teenager, I grew up in New York, I was able to hear Andrea Dworkin speak, and that blew my mind, and it really changed me. Her thorough analysis of, the power that men have, how they can wield it, in subtle and palpable ways, how they can wield it in intense ways, how it connects with race and class, in the sense that the less protected we are by money and race privilege and ethnic privilege, the closer we are to the reality of what men can do to us as a caste. And she just had the analysis so watertight and so strong, and it was just coming from such personal experience, and it was just so connected to her own grief and rage over what had happened to her and what had happened to the world and her vision of the world she could see without male power and without male supremacy, that I was completely converted, and I had an analysis that really helped me understand my experiences of exploitation and having been molested and groped, as many, many women have experienced as girls. It made me understood my experience of growing up in a kind of red light district with the nascent sex industry just kind of burgeoning all around us. It made me understand what the pimps were doing on the streets to the working women. It made me understand the pornographic images I grew up with. And it just kind of gave me an analysis that actually protected me and strengthened me and made me see that that this is going to be with me for life. And it also doesn't contradict with my anti-capitalist analysis. It kind of dovetails with the anti-capitalism, the anti-racism, the class analysis. You know, the radical feminism is you know, all together there. And I feel that, you know, one of my missions in life is to kind of turn women on to radical feminism.
As a radical feminist, what do you think the way forward is?
Like a lot of radical feminists, I'm really concerned with the porn industry and how young, you know, how children are growing up with a really pornified sexuality and a mediated existence that just comes through their laptops. A sense that it might in some ways be harder and harder for us to connect to our hearts and our souls and our bodies and our minds directly without capitalism and patriarchy's intercession. So I think that building the anti-porn movement and building a movement to be like genuine, authentic people, you know, men as well as women, is going to be really, really crucial in the time to come. And I just want to say a word about how kind of I think my radical feminism connects with my environmentalism, in the sense that the forces that are destroying the women are the same as the forces that are destroying the earth, and that we're really going to need to get active in defense of our planet and just in defense of the future, and not be afraid of our essential radicalism, because I think some of the things that we're attacked for, like our gender our analysis of gender, are real sort of side issues. And that, you know, I hope in some ways radical feminists will form coalitions with people of different politics, you know, environmentalists who maybe aren't entirely radical feminists, because we need to work together at the same time keeping our sort of core radicalism. So I hope that there'll be those coalitions with environmental groups and campaigns. And I hope also that we're going to really work to challenge the image of us, of women, that's coming out of the porn industry, because that's going to be a bit of a time bomb in terms of how people are going to cope in the future.
Elizabeth Carolla is a writer primarily of fiction. Her latest book, The Fun Kind, is available from Siren Press. .wordpress.com. It is a book of short stories which highlights the issues discussed today. You've been listening to Resonance 104.4 FM. The Circle Day will be back next week, Wednesday, at its usual time, 9 p.m. If you want to have a listen at shows we've done before, then please go to www.thecircleday.com. And also, if you like the show and what we do with it, then please get a t-shirt on subcat.com. It's a really good design that they have done for us. Okay, till next week, turn on, tune in and kick off.
Late at night, when you sleep, I sneak out of the door. Wanna know who I meet, where I go and what's it for. They look like ordinary secretaries who could do no harm. But don't you know that nighttime is the right time for conspiracies with a feminist terrorist. Start. got guns and that's a start.
Boom.